Duggar.
Broadcasting live from the KSHP studios in the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. It's time to get on the right side of sports betting. It's time for the Odds Couple.
Show. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper, joined as always by Brett Grant. How are you?
I'm okay. I was the board was a little messed up there, Scotty, but okay.
Have you ever operated this board before?
Well, I installed it. I've never actually operated. I changed the oil and the spark plugs last night, but apparently the ignition was a little screwed up this morning. So, good morning. How are you?
I'm great. Great to have you with us as always. Let's get started with, what say you, game two. We're talking the San Antonio Spurs hosting the Memphis Grizzlies. The game tips off Las Vegas time tonight, 6:05. Game one, easy winner. 105-83, the Spurs knocked off the Grizzlies, but don't let the final score fool you. It was not that close. What say you?
It wasn't that close. The question is, in game two, is how much can Memphis adjust to be in the game here in game two? Now, Memphis, if you remember, Scott, they were down 2-0 to the Clippers. They lost, I want to say, their first game to OKC as well. They don't mind playing from behind, so they're not in an uncomfortable position yet.
Well, that's a good point. I mean, they are a nitty-gritty basketball team. I love the heart that this team possesses. The concern is, it's a tough way to make a living. I mean, to constantly come from behind. Now, they lost the first 2 games at the Clippers, and, of course, they went on to win the next 4 games. But the concern was Blake Griffin, their star, meaning the Clippers' star forward, Blake Griffin hurt. And that, I think, lends itself to the fact that the Grizzlies were able to come back and win that series. And then against Oklahoma City, the Thunder, without their second-best player in Russell Westbrook, the first game was a photo coin toss. 93-91, the Thunder won. Then the Grizzlies went on to win the next 4. But let us not forget, all games in that series were decided by 6 points or less, and one of which was overtime that the Grizzlies won. I like Memphis, as I've been saying for weeks and months on this show. They're thin. They have no bench. They have no outside shooting. They're starting 5, as good as anyone in the league. But again, the question is, what kind of adjustments do they make for game two tonight?
Well, I think the biggest one is getting Zach Randolph off on the right foot, scoring. He didn't have a basket until about 5-6 minutes left to go in game one. He only had 1 of 9 from the floor and just had a horrible day. And he actually said he apologized to his teammates. He felt horrible. He didn't sleep on Sunday night after the game. So you would expect him to at least try to make sure he's on the scoreboard. Now, the difference was the Spurs took him away. Now, can Lionel Hollins and the Grizzlies get him back? The Spurs fronted him. They double-teamed him. They dropped guys on him. They sagged on him. They took him out of his comfort zone. Now, you're going to have to make the adjustments on the other side to get your star player free. So it'll be interesting now to see what Lionel Hollins can do to get Randolph some shots.
Brett, you mentioned that Zach Randolph only scored 2 points in that game, and he did not sleep after the game, but my guess is that was because he was sleeping during the game.
Perhaps you're
so he
right.
Was well rested.
He was double covered. You know, he had 2 blankets on him. He was snoozing. He was comfy.
Well, I think the Spurs again, Pop, great coach, probably the best coach in all of basketball, did a great job as far as denying Zach Randolph the ball. Zach, he goes and gets offensive rebounds. In fact, it was an offensive rebound tip-in, basically, when he finally scored with about 9 minutes to go in the game. But we'll see how it plays out. I mean, Memphis Grizzly fans are saying that, hey, Zach Randolph is going to be back. We're going to make some adjustments. We're going to win this game. San Antonio Spurs fans, like myself, simply say, listen, what are the odds of 2 of your big 3 stars not performing well, a la Tim Duncan held to 6 points, Manu Ginobili not impressive in game one? So again, your two of your three stars for the Spurs played poorly, and yet they still won by 22 points. So the point spread for this game, 4.5, 5, a touch of 5.5 now. I mean, I would expect the Spurs to win. What say you?
Well,
I mean,
you look at Matt Bonner, you look at what Kawhi Leonard did, and then you throw in Danny Green. Those three guys made 11 3-pointers in the game. I don't expect them to make 11 3-pointers. I'll tell you what. You can have your choice. Over or under 2 points for Zach Randolph, or over and under 11 3-pointers for those three guys for the Spurs. I think one's a sure over and the other one's a sure under going into that. Again, the public bets on what they last saw, and they will probably, my guess would be, pound the Spurs, thinking that they dominated the series. But I think this series is all about adjustments, and we've seen great adjustments from every team in the playoffs in Game 2. Back to the zigzag theory, where teams, here's how we're going to be defended. Here's what we're doing offensively that it wasn't working. We have to make these adjustments to be able to make this a series.
Well, the zigzag theory says to play the Memphis Grizzlies tonight. Recent memory says play the Spurs. Were you not paying attention in Game 1?
Right.
But you talk about, well, the Spurs as a team, 14 of 27 from the three-point line. Now, of course, that's a bit of an anomaly. That was a franchise record in the playoffs for the Spurs to hit at such a high frequency. But overall, the team shot 53% from the field. But I look at the Memphis Grizzlies, a bad outside shooting team. Pondexter, a role player, right, bench player, average on his best day, 5-for-9 from the three-point line. That's not going to happen again. So it's going to be very interesting to see how this series continues to play out. Again, I have a lot of respect for Lionel Hollins and the Memphis Grizzlies, but you throw in home court where the Spurs have only lost 6 times in something like 50 games. I don't know if they're going to cover the number. I do expect them to win.
Well, if Zach Randolph gets to where he normally is, if he's in the 18 to 24 point range, it's a different series again. It's a different game tonight. And obviously, if he does do that, that means the Grizzlies are able to control the pace of the game, play their dirty style. Not that dirty is a bad word, but nitty-gritty, in-your-face defense, which they didn't do. They're upset with their defensive effort as much as anything else. Tony Parker said, hey, if you think anybody in this locker room is happy that we're up 1-0 after we were up 2-0 last year in the Western Conference Finals, you'd be mistaken. They know where they were last year. They know they screwed it up against Oklahoma City, and they know they have to continue to play hard, and this Memphis team is very capable. And the biggest difference, though, and we've talked about this, is the lack of depth on one bench versus the terrific depth of the other team.
Well, and you look at this matchup, and for the Grizzlies, it's basically high-low combination of Marcus Gasol, Defensive Player of the Year, and then, of course, down low you have the Zach attack, Zach Randolph. But the Spurs have done a good job within Game 1 of fronting Zach Randolph, double teaming, helping, and then also making sure that this was nice to see, because it's like I question, do these coaches not watch any game film? Never mind that Marc Gasol is 9 feet tall. The guy is a dead-eye shot from 15, 20 feet out. The Spurs contested any and all shots from Marc Gasol because Mark, believe it or not, he does not want to attack the paint and right. go inside. He's a very good defensive player in the paint, but offensively, in my opinion, he's a bit soft because he fell in love with the outside shot, and teams have made a mistake of not contesting those shots. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. My name is Scott Pritchard. I'm a professional sports bettor handicapper featured on my site, PritchardsPicks.com. Be sure and check it out. Some of the information is free. Some of the information you do have to pay for. Just remember, my friends, whether you want free advice or you want to pay for it, the most expensive advice is free advice. Also, you can check me out on VegasInsider.com. We have 1 million views per day, sports betting information site. Tim Donaghy, former NBA official from 1994 to 2007, reached out to me a few weeks ago. I'm now one of his premier handicappers on his site, RefPicks.com. So we have Game 2, Zigzag Theory, alive and well. It says to play the Memphis Grizzlies. Now, the Grizzlies have been hot, man. 10-0 going into Sunday's game, ATS against the spread.
Well, and the other trend is they're 5-0 against the spread following an ATS loss, which is also the scenario again tonight. But the Spurs obviously broke that streak on Sunday with the Game 1 win. And the Spurs, by the way, 4-1 in their last 5 games against the spread. So a couple of teams that are in good situations tonight, something's going to buck the trend here tonight as you go into it.
both of these teams, well, I guess the Memphis Grizzlies have lost three games in the playoffs. The San Antonio Spurs have lost two. And so it's going to be, I mean, the total for this game hovering right around 181.5. We talked about during the course of the regular season, the Grizzlies were a dead under team. 48 of their 80 games went under, 32 went over, 67% winner just blindly betting the under. Yet in the playoffs, it's kind of an overlay or an underlay, if you will. The odds makers know this, the line reflects it, and the value has been in betting the over. So like anything else, you want to take all of, I mean, he with the most information generally wins. That's applicable in everyday life. It certainly applies to sports betting, and we're big on education, some entertainment, even some humor here on
The Odds Couple. Very little.
Very little. But the idea is we share the information. It's your money. Respect your money, and ultimately you decide what you're going to do.
Well, there, you know, when you look at a game, any game, forget about tonight's game or any baseball game, you could get lost in all the numbers that you want to shuffle. So from a professional handicapping standpoint, which ones do you pay attention to? Like, there's the minutia, which I would call tonight, for example. The Grizzlies are 7-1 in their last to the over in their last eight Tuesday night games. Does that have anything to do with anything?
Nothing.
Okay.
It has
it's
nothing.
Like, thanks. Well, they're great on Tuesday. They had a Snickers bar. Their way. Well,
it's kind of like you saying that you have a tough time picking winners on Tuesday.
But it's true.
It has nothing. But there's no validity to that.
Crap.
It's just
Tuesday,
it's just a
it?
Coincidence because you're a sharp player, a sharp bettor, handicapper, right. A winning player. But on Tuesdays, you struggle for whatever reason.
Well, right now, that's carried over to every day. Any day, anything that ends in a D-A-Y, I'm in trouble with right now.
Well, we're going to get to that a little bit later, but we try to share as much information as possible. We're going to give you a professional opinion. Fortunately, I've been on another streak, another run. 11 of my last 14 plays have been winner, winner, chicken dinners. And we'll get to the right side a little bit later on in the show. But it's one of those things, man, when you're on a streak, I mean, your food looks good. Your girlfriend is prettier than ever before.
Right.
Life is good. And conversely, when you're on a losing streak, it's like, just the opposite.
It's a country song. The opposite, right? Dog ran away. Your truck broke down. You know, all that kind of stuff. Right?
No doubt. Yeah. No doubt about it. This is The Odds Couple. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. Let's talk sports betting. Dial in, 702-221-7283. We're live and worldwide. Vegas Video Network, which is so cool. I think this is awesome, man. We have radio, Las Vegas, Sin City, where you can listen to us and watch us, in fact, in Bangkok or Ottumwa or Dubuque or any other obscure place. It's super cool. The live chat is up and running on Vegas Video Network, so keep those live chat questions and or comments coming. Scott Pritchard alongside Brett Grant. We do have Game 1 taking place tomorrow night. Wow, these two teams have been off for a while. The Miami Heat, they're at home taking on the Indiana Pacers. The point spread at last check, 7.5. The Heat are favored. The total on this contest, I'm thinking, right around the same as the Memphis-San Antonio game. It's 182.5. The Miami Heat, the cream tends to rise to the top. I guess the question is, I think everyone expects the Heat will win. The only question is, by how many? What say you?
Well, I think you're right. I think it's going to be very difficult for anybody to, especially the Eastern Conference, to beat them four times. Although Indiana did win their season series 2-1, and the two games they beat Miami, they beat them by double digits. There's a huge advantage from a rebounding edge for the Indiana Pacers. In fact, I think in their wins, they averaged about 13 more rebounds a game than the Miami Heat did going in. So it's going to put a premium on the Heat to be able to shoot at a pretty high percentage, get to the basket, get to the free throw line, make sure their stars are playing well. I worry about Dwayne Wade's health with his leg and how sound his knee's going to be. Chris Bosh has been terrific recently. Of course, LeBron's LeBron. He's going to go out and do what he does. The question is, can a team like Indiana find a way to beat them four times? Now, if you go into Game 1, the Chicago Bulls caught the Miami Heat napping in Game 1. Can Indiana do the same thing, catch Miami napping as a 7.5-point favorite at home in Game 1? It's It happened just 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, and all the more reason why it won't happen again tonight. I mean, Lightning will not strike again simply because, you know, the Bulls were a 12-and-a-half-point dog in Game 1, and they stole Game 1. The Heat caught napping or looking past. But all the more reason why I don't think that's going to happen again, even though the point spread for this game is 7.5 with the Indiana Pacers. And the Heat are aware of the fact that they did not match up well during the course of the regular season with this team. So I fully expect the Heat to win. The only question is by how many points.
Well, the total, 182.5, where it is right now, you think that's where it needs to be? Is that number as sharp as it needs to be with these two teams? Because they're both capable of scoring. I know Indiana plays lots of good defense. We're only talking basically 91-91 in that spot.
Well, here's what you have. It's a great question, and for all intent and purpose, is this line sharp? And I would say yes. I respect the odds makers. I respect the market even more, meaning the professional wise guys, sports bettors that actually move the number. Please understand that in regards to entertainment, you have four teams left, two in the East, two in the West. It makes for good fodder. It's good drama. But in terms of finding real value in betting it, I'm not so sure that you can, simply because the lines are sharp, the side, the total. There are no secrets at this late date. And instead of having 20 NBA games a day to choose from and 80 college basketball games a day to choose from, you have one NBA game every 2 days. So the odds makers, the line, the side, the total, the money line, everything is pretty darn sharp at this point in time. So I'm kind of a grinder, a scalper. I'm looking to, I mean, if I had to play the total, I would probably lean on the under, just because I know the Indiana Pacers want to slow things down. And defense is something that you can play as easily on the road as you can at home. But interesting to note, my friend, of the four remaining teams, three are diehard defensive teams, and of course the Heat are just the Heat.
Right. Well, I mean, both these games really kind of opened 183.5, and the game tonight's been bet down to about 181.5 at certain properties in town. There is a 182 out there. Tomorrow's game, 82.5. There's an 83 out there. So there's not necessarily square numbers all over the town. You can find a little value, I guess, if you're looking on one way or the other.
Well, there's a huge difference between 183.5 and 181.5, because imagine in the fourth quarter, I mean, more times than not, these odds makers are going to be within, say, 5-10 points of the closing number. And if you have not one but two key numbers working to your advantage to where you can middle and or get the best of it, your win percentage will increase dramatically simply by doing what I do, which is every day getting at least a half point and a half, the best of it. That's why I tend to bet totals more than sides, because you won't see as much movement on sides as you do totals. And in football, when you have adverse weather, I mean, you might see a game open 48 on Tuesday, and by Saturday, it's been bet down to 42.
Right. Well, you know, you'll see that, like we talked about yesterday, taking that big number, playing it over, taking that smaller number, playing it under. But yeah, or a key injury, which something can happen late. Now, I know we talk a lot of times about follow the money and where things are going, but if you play a game the night before, let's say, for example, and then later on in the day, maybe it's a 4 o'clock West Coast start to a game, and suddenly at noon you find out one of the team's best players, let's say it's basketball, is out with the flu or something, and the line dramatically changes. How do you adjust to that yourself if you already made a wager on that game?
Well, again, you can't do anything if you've already made your bet. Now, I'll give you an example. I mean, to validate your point, I mean, last night I bet the total on the Oakland-Texas game for tonight over 8.5, minus 15, minus 20 is what I played, only to find I released that on our show today, only to tell my good buddy Jacob Cannon, hey, I have to get off that game for the viewers and the listeners because it's been bet up to 9. It's nice for positive reinsurance, knowing that other wise guys, professional sports bettors, see what I see. You want to be on the move early or against it late. So I would never, and you might say, gosh, how is it that you like over 8.5, but you don't like over 9? Well, there's a huge, huge difference between the two. If the game is 4-4 late, or if it goes 5-4, we know 9 is a key number in the American League, just like 7 is a key number in the National League. So there is a huge, huge difference there. I cannot play over 8.5 minus 15 or 20 and then play over 9 or release over 9 minus 15, 20 cents. So I had to respectfully get off that game. But the key is when you come across adverse weather information or an injury, that information is, well, I have access to the same information that the sportsbook supervisor has access to up to the second.
Right.
So timing is everything. So again, I spot my picks, pick my spots, and their job is to post a side total money line on each and every game. My job is to be highly selective and try to find specific value to where I can make a profit long-term consistently. Short-term, it may not seem like much of an advantage, but I'm telling you, long-term, it's a huge difference between, say, 55% winners and 58% winners.
Well, but back to my original question, which is if you make a play on a game like the baseball game is probably not a good example. But let's say it's the basketball game tonight, where let's say you played the Spurs tonight, and now you find out later on after the show, you already played the game, and now we find out that three players are not going to play tonight for whatever reason, and the line dramatically changes, 2 or 3 points one way or the other. So it goes from 5 to 2, whatever. Are you going to get off that game some way, or are you just going to say, nothing I can do about it?
Nothing I can do about it. It's totally random, because you could make that argument, Brett, with any team.
Okay.
Because, for instance, three players could go down for Memphis, hypothetically.
Right.
And so the all you can do is all you can do. And by that I mean, for instance, if you like the Spurs, the opening number was 4.5 Sunday when the line came out. And again, the zigzag theory lends itself to the fact that the sportsbooks will shade the Grizzlies, knowing that they're going to make some adjustments. But the money has come in up to this point on the Spurs. It went from 4.5, 5, a touch of 5.5, more 5.5s today than we had yesterday. We'll see what happens by tip-off, but you can't foresee that. The early bird gets the worm, and it's absolutely true in sports betting, because if you have information long before the sports books get it,
right.
The other thing is when something, sometimes you don't need to know. You don't have to reinvent the wheel. You don't need to know why there's a move on this game. Just know that if you can catch it before a sports book updates, long term, you'll be fine. If
right.
you do nothing else but blindly follow good, sharp numbers, you'll be fine.
And now, as the game gets to 5.5, is it now time to take the other side? If people like the Grizzlies, now's the time to take the Grizzlies?
Well, I mean, you have 5.5. My way of thinking is steal a 6.
Okay.
I mean, I don't bet square numbers. If it's 5.5 at a number of play, I mean, if I were going to play the game and I had an opinion, then of course I would take plus 5.5 as opposed to 4.5 from Sunday. But why not hope that it only takes one place to have a big fat 6? Now it takes 7 points for you to lose. There's a huge difference between 4.5 and 7 for you to lose. So again, the idea there would be to I try to bet numbers that really don't exist or don't exist for very long.
But you wouldn't, you would never, and I think you talked about this, never, if you're at 5.5, buy that half point to get to 6 and pay the extra 10 cents because you wouldn't do that.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
And the reason is I'm not opposed to buying a half point on and off a key number in football, but the sports books no longer let you do that, and for good reason. It was a losing proposition for them. For years, I mean, 2.5, 3, you could buy up or down from 3 and lay an extra 10 cents. Now it's like 30 cents, and most places won't let you do it, period. And now they've gotten savvy to the point they won't let you do it on and off 7. It really depends on the place. So I'm not opposed to I mean, I laugh at the people who will buy. They'll say, what number did you get? Well, I got this number because I said, well, why would you pay for a half a point? Why would you lay twice the juice?
Right.
The number is critically important, but the juice, people make the mistake of not looking at the VIG, the juice, the rub for the sports book. That is the most critically important number.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's 5.5, I'm only going to take 6 at minus 10. I'm not going to take 6 and lay twice the juice. I'm going to be sharp. I'm going to find the only 6 that exists.
That makes sense.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Las Vegas. We're here Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, my good buddy Brett Grant. Every Friday, Anthony Padilla, who finally lost a game, his last loss. I'm thinking it was February. He's saying it was January. He's been in a drunken stupor ever since Friday night. He's having a tough time with this one loss, one time, which does not bode well. As a professional sports bettor, you have to be able to deal with the losses.
He's not very thick-skinned, is what you're trying to say?
Well, I'm saying I'm not going to say anything without him being here,
okay.
But he will get an earful when I see him on Friday.
You've been waiting for this, right? Haven't you? Maybe Anthony will shave his head.
I can't wait to tell Anthony that you're only as good as your last game. That's all I can say. I don't want to hear about the 13, 15, and 0. But it's remarkable what my good buddy Anthony Padilla has done. Because I'm a professional, and I've been doing this for 30 years. And, yeah, I'll go on streaks like you're seeing now, 11-3, and having a very good football season, 60% winners ATS against the spread. That's what I've done consistently long term. And then imagine how I feel when I have a very good friend, a headliner, comedy headliner here in Las Vegas, who's a sports nut, who's not a sports bettor, come in and outpick me. It's not like I went 35, 40, 45% and he outpicked me.
I think it's
I hit 60% and he's I'm calling him bus driver because he's taking me to school.
I think it's the lack of pressure on him.
Maybe that's it.
Because he's not taking the Benjamins out of his pocket.
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, it just
changes everything.
He's just throwing darts. It does. It's a little bit of a difference, don't you think?
Well, I think there's a huge difference.
There you go.
Do you want to tell him or should I?
I'll give you a quick story. So my I have twin boys, right? They're looking at the NCAA basketball tournament. I say, Dad, we want to make a parlay. Like, okay. So they say, okay, here's the games we want to do. I know you're not a parlay fan. It's a little $10 parlay, three-teamer. And I said, okay, I'll book your action for you guys. Okay. So they ran off to do something. They came back, and it was Ohio State playing, I think, Iowa State in the NCAA basketball tournament. And they had Ohio State, and they ended up not covering, I think, by a point. And my one sentence says, this is way too nerve-wracking. I'm never doing this again. I go, good. So he figured it out real quick. He goes, and of course, the other two games won. And he goes, I can't take the pressure. I'm not doing this anymore. Anthony needs to have some of that.
That's a great analogy, you know. And here's the difference. You always want to play the game. You never play the money. So, I mean, if you're sharp and you're a good handicapper, and that's why I say you have to check your emotions at the door, I've often said ladies will say that men are not emotional. It's like you've never watched your man watch a football game, especially if he has money on it.
Exactly. He's going to try and buy you that diamond ring, yes.
Right, no doubt.
Oh, sorry, honey. Can't do it. Didn't happen.
I remember, it was my first ex-wife. I remember.
That's a great way to start a story.
Taking my...
I remember my first ex-wife.
I'll never forget. What's her name?
I have no idea. I'm sure your lawyer knows who her name is.
I will say that years ago, imagine being a professional sports bettor and you take this seriously. And I forget the game. I think I had the Browns plus 10 and they lost 35-0. And she said to me, who did you bet? I said, I bet the Browns plus 10. And she said, why'd you do that?
Exactly.
Like, what are you, some kind of an idiot? They lost 35-0. I said, you know, it's a lot easier after you see the final score.
Exactly.
All right, let's get going with Spin to Win. Time to bring in the wheel. We're looking at game two tonight. The Memphis Grizzlies taking on the San Antonio Spurs. Spurs are favored by 5. Spin to Win has to do with having an objective mindset. Checking your emotions at the door. Is it the door? Is that what we're talking here?
Yeah, I think
okay.
So.
Easy for you to say. Check your emotions at the door. The smart better bets with their head, never their heart. I'm going to be forced to make an argument for the Grizzlies or the Thunder. Actually, I don't think the Thunder are playing.
Oh,
the Grizzlies
worked,
and the Spurs.
Hang on. It worked. Teen Wolf. You got Teen Wolf. Wait, that's a Grizzly.
I have the Grizzlies.
It's
okay.
Michael J. Fox.
Zigzag Theory, alive and well. Memphis Grizzlies plus the 5, plus the 5.5 might present some value. I'm not saying it does. I'm saying it might because the wheel says I have to make an argument for this team. The Grizzlies, come on, man. There was a reason why they were 10-0 ATS against the spread. It's because they don't get any respect. And so oftentimes they'll win the game, they'll cover the point spread, but even in those rare instances where they don't win, they'll keep it close, keep it competitive. You saw that game won against Oklahoma City Thunder. They lost the game, but they covered the number because it fell 93-91. They were getting 3.5 points. Tonight, they're getting 5 to 5.5. And as much as I love the San Antonio Spurs, points mean more than opinions. Underdogs are oftentimes undervalued. Memphis plus the 5. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
Across town right now, I just happened to look. Everything's at 5 in Las Vegas right now on the game. And now I've got the team that won by 20-something in game one. They shot the lights out, played very well, very comfortable in their own skin. I get to say, I got Pop. Pop knows best, right? I get to steal Scott's line. I'm so excited about that. I've got the team with the great bench versus the team that has no bench. and I got the home team, and we know the Grizzlies are a team at times that will struggle to score points, where we know the Spurs can go anywhere on the floor and get points, whether it's at the point guard spot or the five spot, and all points in between. I think five's a very low number to me, and I like the Spurs in this spot at home.
Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Scott Pritchard, professional sports bettor handicapper, featured on PritchardsPicks.com, joined by Brett Grant, the GM at KSHP AM 1400 Radio. We're live and worldwide, Vegas Video Network. The studio line is open, 702-221-7283. Also live chat up and running on Vegas Video Network. Any questions, concerns you might have in regards to sports, namely sports betting, we would love to hear from you. We're going to take a commercial break. We're going to come right back.
Have you ever thought you should be on the radio? Or have you considered doing an online video show or podcast? If so, now is your only chance to do both at the same time. KSHP and the Vegas Video Network have teamed up to provide the only multi-camera broadcast quality video and live radio simulcast in Las Vegas. And instead of having your show played at some ungodly hour, the KSHP Vegas Video Network partnership is producing shows that play from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. Monday through Friday. Imagine having your own radio show broadcasting to the entire Las Vegas Valley, and combine that with an online presence that is viewed in all 50 states and 150 countries, both live and on demand. This is a first and an outstanding opportunity to give voice to your business, your ideas, and your talent. If you'd like your own show on KSHP and the Vegas Video Network, contact us today at 221-1200. That's 221-1200.
Welcome back to the Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio, Sin City, Las Vegas, Nevada. I like it. I like it. I love it. I want some more of it. All right. Tim McGraw's in the studio. Not really. Okay. Vegas Video Network, we're live and worldwide. We would love for you to reach out to us on the Odds Couple. Email us at oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. That's oddscouple@vegasvideonetwork.com. We would also love to hear your voice on our show. Simply go to our site, Vegas Video Network, right-hand side, red bar, click there, middle of the page, green bar, hit the start recording button. We have live chat. It's up and running. Studio line open, 702-221-7283. Also, if you do miss us live, no worries. You can check us out, Vegas Video Network, YouTube, iTunes, Roku, sports betting, sports, you name it. We're talking about it. Where do you find frustration? Are you kidding me?
I tell you where I find frustrations. It's with pitchers not closing games in baseball. The blown save. I know you're going to talk specifically about one, so I won't talk about that particular game yesterday. But I'll give you an example of, there were several of them yesterday. And the art of the save, yes, this will be the final year that we have Mariano Rivera, the greatest closer in the history of the game. And it's hard for me to say that, to praise a Yankee, but I will. There's no question that Mo has been the best the game has ever seen. Basically with a guy that throws one pitch, and he's been able to get guys out all the time. There was a game yesterday between the Seattle Mariners and the Cleveland Indians. Seattle's up one run in the bottom of the ninth. A ground ball to the first baseman. He tosses it. We practice this thousands of times in spring training. Tosses the ball to the pitcher. What's he do? He drops it. It ties the game. They go into extra innings. The Mariners in the top of the 10th. I think it was Mr. Smoke. Homers to give the Mariners the lead back. Now they're up 8-7. We go to the bottom of the 10th, and the Indians get a base hit. Then they hit a guy. And then a three-run homer. After the guy who hit the homer, by the way, tried to bunt on strike one, whiffed. Then hit ball one. Then here comes strike two. He tries to bunt again. Whiffs. Ball two. Ball through. Ball three. Screw it. I'm not going to bunt. I'm just going to hit a three-run homer. The Cardinal game last night, Mitchell Boggs was in late in the game. The Cardinals weren't actually in a save situation in this particular spot, but Jason Mott was injured, got sent down. Boggs digs. He couldn't get anybody out. Went down to the minor leagues, got it all worked out, came back. First pitcher he saw, first pitch he threw, home run. And it's like, what happened to these guys at the end of the games? It's happening all over baseball right now, and it's, are you kidding me? with the lack of closers.
Well, you talked about the St. Louis Cardinal closer. I mean, he's been one of the main guys. Rivera's been a star for the Yankees. And oftentimes, like I say, in basketball, it's not who is starting. It's who do you have come off the bench. And in baseball, last year, the Baltimore Orioles were one of the best ever, like something ridiculous, 77-1 after holding a lead after the seventh inning. So, I mean, it's interesting. Again, who do you have closing out these games? And the Cardinals, up until recently, they've been right there.
Well, they're using Edward Mujica now, who's been, some reason, came out of nowhere and has been terrific for them. They weren't in a save situation last night, but just late innings. And the other thing is, we never tend to remember when those games go in your favor, when you're the guy who's on the receiving end of a game like that. But you always remember when you lose those games.
Well, you talked about the Mariner game, and it's a perfect example of this is not for the faint of heart. I mean, you've got the game won. I mean, two outs, routine ground ball. The guy tosses it to the pitcher. He drops the ball. You still come back and score in the 10th inning, only to give up a 3-run home run after the guy was trying to advance by sacrificing himself exactly. by bunting, but he didn't want to get called out on a foul third strike.
Right, he just said, screw it, I'm going to hit a home run,
so
coach.
I'm going to knock it out of the park just to stick it to my buddy Brett
from KSHP.
So, yeah, those are the kinds of things that will drive you absolutely. But it goes back, it lends itself to, as a professional sports bettor, I kind of believe, I really feel strongly about this, that about 50% of the games are totally random and unforeseen and not anything you can do. And that would be a perfect example. And that's what's frustrating. You can do everything right and still get hosed. Now, but the other 50% of the time, if you can hit 60%, if you can hit 3 out of 5 based on being a sharp handicapper, getting good numbers, being patient, having discipline, and utilizing very good money management skills, you'll be just fine. But understand, it's the nature of the beast. And you cannot go into a drunken stupor like my good buddy Anthony because you lost a game. He said, I can't believe I lost by 1 run. I said, well, what do you expect, to lose by 20 or 50? Right. I mean, of course, it's going to be close to the number. But we'll throw Anthony under the bus on Friday when I see him. He's a very good friend of mine. And for some reason, he's been on an incredible streak here on The Odds Couple. We love having Anthony with us each and every Friday, one of the original mainstay anchors of The Odds Couple when we started this show last September. My segment of Are You Kidding Me? Kind of an extension of what Brett Grant was talking about, but I'm going to be specific. I'm calling out Jim Johnson, the star reliever of the Baltimore Orioles. This is a guy who last year, 51 saves, 35 consecutive save opportunities he converted, 35 straight. That's unheard of. Last year, he blew 3 saves the entire year. This year, what a difference a year makes. He has blown 3 consecutive save opportunities, including last night. Jim Johnson, are you kidding me?
Well, if you remember, the game I gave out yesterday was the under in this particular game, which was under 8.5, and the game is sitting 4-3, 2 outs in the top of the 9th inning, and the Yankees...
You can't lose.
And I did. The Yankees hit a home run to tie the game 4-4. And, you know, obviously the game can't end 4-4. So it went to that key number we talked about earlier today, which was 9. So, Jim Johnson, I was going to say as well, are you kidding me? Where's my baseball bet? The interesting thing is, though, Scott, if you look at the Detroit Tigers and you look at the Chicago Cubs, two completely different franchises, but yet both of them, one very successful, one not, both of them continue to go back to guys who have proven to be failures in late-end situations. You take a great team, the Tigers, and they still go to Jose Valverde as their guy at the back end to try and close out games. And that was a disaster last year in the postseason. They're doing it again this year. And maybe he's going to be fine through the regular season, but if I'm Jim Leland, I can't trust him come October if we're in the playoffs. And on the Cubs, they go back to Carlos Marmol year after year after year, and he has never, ever been an effective closer. Is there not somebody else out there in your minor league system or somebody else in your pitching rotation that might be able to get the job done and get those final 3 outs?
You would think so, but knowledge is power, and I agree with everything that you've said, but that's part of the reason as to why if I have a manager I don't trust or I have a closer that I don't trust, I eliminate that equation altogether, and I'll bet the first 5 innings of a game as opposed to the 9 innings. But conversely, if I like the opposing team, and I know then I might bet them for the first for the entire game, knowing that the opposing team's closer is questionable on his best day. So yeah, the Tigers, I don't trust their closer. I don't trust their bullpen, and I certainly don't trust their defense. But as far as starting pitching and as far as hitting the ball, the Tigers are the real deal, even though they're chasing the Cleveland Indians. I want to talk about streaks. I want to talk about teams that are cashing tickets, making you money at the bet window in regards to totals. I do a lot with betting totals. There are three dead over teams this year up to this point. We've talked about two of the three. One of these three we have not talked about. So we've talked about the Oakland A's and the LA Angels have been dead over teams. The A's are 30 and 16. 30 of their 46 games have gone over the closing total. The Angels, again, not a surprise because they don't pitch well. Their starting pitcher's ERA tops in the league or worst in the league. They hit the ball. The 29 of their 44 games have gone over the closing total. But here's a little bit of a surprise because we really haven't talked about this on the odds couple, but the Houston Astros are a dead over team. 28 of their 43 games have seen the over cash the ticket. Now, under, really one team has been a pretty good under team this entire year. It's the D-backs of Arizona. 27 of their 43 games have gone under. Let's talk about winning streaks. Straight up baseball, we know it's a streaky sport. You never bet on a streak to end. Winning streaks, Atlanta Braves, Oakland A's, both riding a four-game winning streak, and the Cleveland Indians. Boy, they've been a fun team to watch. They hit the ball well. They've been getting some pretty solid pitching. They've won five consecutive games. Other side of the coin, we have three teams that are riding losing streaks, compliments of a questionable closer all of a sudden, and Jim Johnson. The Baltimore Orioles have dropped six consecutive games, have had the Minnesota Twins, and then the Seattle Mariners now a losing streak of four straight games.
Well, they were in Cleveland, so that's why the Indians have a great streak and the Mariners don't have a great streak as you go into that. So, but you know, we don't say necessarily to blindly bet these streaks one way or the other. And I know some people who've hit. There was a stretch where the Toronto Blue Jays, I think, Scott, had hit 15 out of. They were, I think, a stretch of 15 and two. Or maybe it was Tampa. 15 and two, I think.
Tampa Bay. Yeah.
To the over.
Right.
A stretch. And there was a person I know who had the two games that they went under. He was on those two games and saw the value in a bloated line.
Well, that's
in that
great.
Spot.
That's an overlay, and there might be some value
right
there. But again, I mean, I know they were 11 or 12 consecutive games. So it's nice that he bucked the trend and went 2-0. I'd rather be 15-2.
Right, and play the straight. I said the same thing to him. He goes, I got those
two right.
He probably
didn't want to hear that.
I said, I went 15-2. I played them all over.
Because again, we've talked about it many times, but it's worth repeating because you want to ride the streak because you can only lose one time.
Right.
And you can win 5, 8, 10, 12 in a row. So please keep that in mind. And I'm not saying blindly do it, but it should be one thing that you look at because the odds makers are aware of it as well, and they'll shade it one way or the other. But, you know, you talked about the Toronto Blue Jays. What a disappointment. I know it's early, but
right.
I mean, I said it was early after five games, and now we played 45. It's still somewhat early, but this team, last place, American League East, they brought in so much talent. And I want to talk a little bit about how the sportsbooks have adjusted their future prices. I talked yesterday about the Texas Rangers might present some value for the American League pennant simply because they had a 6.5-game lead. No other division. You can't win it if you're not in it, meaning you can't win it if you're not in the pennant. And we have four teams that will make, or what do we have now, 4, 5, 10 teams? They change it.
In the playoffs?
Yeah.
Well, you have three wild cards.
Well, you have right. So you have, but the idea is if you have a 6.5-game lead in your division this early and the A's, who are not projected to be all that solid long term, the Texas Rangers will get in to the American League playoffs.
More than
and so we talked yesterday about that might present some value. So I did some research. I took a field trip yesterday in the spirit of this show.
They let you in the library?
They did. They did. But now the thing is,
the adult superstore is not a field trip.
Are you sure?
It
is in my
that.
World. Okay. Well, you look at a number of teams where the sportsbooks have started to see that they've had no choice but to adjust their future plays for the World Series. For instance, the Texas Rangers have gone from 20-1, where they opened, bet down to 8-1. And for all intent and purpose, you're probably looking at half that for the pennant. So chances are 4-1 to win the American League pennant today. The Cardinals opened at 16, been bet down to 10. Yankees 25, bet down to 12. Boston Red Sox 30-1 to start the season, bet down to 12. And the Cleveland Indians 60-1, bet down to 25. So we're seeing some movement on some of these teams that have surprised. And conversely, you look at the Angels and or the Dodgers, two teams favored or picked to be in the top two or three of their respective leagues.
Right.
Failing miserably at this point.
Now, if you have a bet on a team like Cleveland and a big odd like that, and you see it drop so much, is there anything you can do? It's a marathon season. A million things can happen. Do you just sit back and wait for the playoffs? Hopefully they'll make the playoffs. Or what can you do?
As far as, do you bet them today, you mean?
Yeah, I mean, you already lost value in that. Exactly. I'm just saying, is there anything else you do from a hedging standpoint to go through?
Because nothing you can do today.
I just want you to know, I have the Indians at 70-1.
To win the World Series?
To win the World Series.
You need to file that into your waste paper basket. Because I would be more impressed if you told me that before the season.
And I do. It's before the season.
I understand, but I would be more impressed if you told me that before the season, because it makes me wonder, what else are you not telling me? You're telling me after we know now it's 25-1, you're telling me, I told you about the Spurs at plus 250 right. when the Oklahoma
well,
City set way back when.
There's 160 games to play. I made the wager on April the 7th or something, and I have them to win the American League as well. At 45-1.
45-1 to win
the American League.
That's great. Again, I would be more impressed if you told me that when you did it, as opposed to now where we know it's a good bet. You understand what I'm saying?
I got you.
Because the whole idea is to see it before
happened. I saw it before. I just didn't tell you before.
Just like, well, but that's the point. But that's my point. What else are you not telling me? I mean, did you bet the Angels and you're embarrassed
no.
and now we don't
I
hear
I will
about
tell
that?
You the teams I bet.
Okay.
I have the Cardinals at 20-1. I did play the Orioles at 45-1. I played the Indians. Those are my three plays, and I played all of them. Actually, I played the Cardinals in January at 20-1, and I played the Orioles in January at 45-1, and I played the Indians when the season began.
That's
Those
great.
Are my three plays.
But I hope you understand what I'm saying, because right. as a matter of professional courtesy and based on, I mean, everyone knew that the New England Patriots started out 1-2, and I was singing a song, hey, I bet numbers, not teams. I have the Pats at 5-1 to win the AFC Conference Championship. So, mm-hmm. And now this year, I have one team, the San Antonio Spurs, to win the Western Conference. So I'm not afraid to lose. I mean, I bet numbers.
Right.
If I'm getting plus, 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 and I'm getting 5-1 on the Patriots, even when they started out 1-2, you couldn't get 5-1. So it's really about numbers more than it is teams.
Gotcha.
You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP AM 1400 Radio. Great to have you with us. We're here Monday through Friday. Monday through Thursday, my good buddy Brett Grant. Every Friday, my good buddy Anthony Padilla. This show is about sports betting, putting money into your pocket. Check me out, PritchardsPicks.com. That's PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. This is the part of the show where Brett and I put money into your pocket as we together put you on the right side.
Well, recapping what I did yesterday, I gave you the Orioles game, and we just discussed how that ended. I took the under at 8.5, and it was a home run in the top of the ninth inning that got the game to 4-4, and then a situation where you couldn't win it after that. Or I guess you could pray for rain. But it wasn't going to change it anyway. I'm going to go to another baseball game, this one in the American League with the Seattle Mariners and the Anaheim Angels. The over-under in this game is 8.5. A couple of teams right now, pitching-wise, not in very good form. A couple of pitchers that are not very good. Jerome Williams, last time out, he gave up 5 runs in a game against the Chicago White Sox at home. And also on the other side, Aaron Harang, who has not been very good in his starts for the Seattle Mariners, and a guy in Harang who the last time out at the end of April faced these Angels and gave up 6 runs to the Angels as well. Again, I think there's value in the over in this spot. The Angels don't stop anybody. The Mariners are swinging the bats. In fact, the Mariners have played several of their last games over the total, giving up plenty of runs. in their game and scoring. They had 18 runs in their game yesterday. Three out of their four games in Cleveland were over this particular total against a Cleveland team that I don't think hits as well as the Angels are able to hit. And the Angels are also in a form right now where they're giving up plenty of runs and scoring some runs. In fact, now four of their last five games have gone over the total as well. I like over the 8.5 minus 115 in this spot today.
Before we get to my right side, I want to recap what took place. Yesterday I was on the San Francisco Giants as a small favorite at home, and they won the game straight up 8-0 against the struggling Washington Nationals. 14 plays, I've given out 11 of the 14 plays have been winners. I'm going to change boats in midstream. I'm a little annoyed because I played the over in the game last night, only to see it move this morning. In fairness to our viewers and listeners, I cannot, will not give it out because it's moved my way once again to 9, so I'm going to pass. I'm also going to respectfully pass. I apologize to Jacob, and I apologize to Scott Whitney. I'm not going to give out a baseball game. I've had a change of heart.
Okay.
All right, and I'm going to go with the
squash?
Basketball game.
Oh, they're going squash. How about a highlight game?
Do they take bets on fencing?
I'm sure they could.
Because I have an opinion. No, you know, the thing is, I'm looking at tonight's basketball game. The San Antonio Spurs are playing the Memphis Grizzlies. Don't know if you've heard. I'm looking at the total for this game.
All right.
And I admit that the line is sharp, but I'm going to bet into it, and I'm playing under because I expect the Grizzlies will make adjustments. I'm going to get off the Tampa Bay-Toronto baseball game that I told Jacob I would take a look at, but I'm going to pass. Respectfully pass. In the spirit of the show, I would like to pass. But I'm not. I'm right. Going to be a good soldier and man up and release a play, and it's going to be the basketball game, the Grizzlies taking on the San Antonio Spurs. I'm going to play under. This team has been a dead under team. The Spurs play very good defense. I expect it to be a knockdown, drag-out affair. It'll be much more competitive than, say, game one. I thought game one was fortunate to go over because there were a barrage of three-point shots. I mean, 14 of 27, and Poindexter made a 5 of 9 for the Grizzlies. So, I mean, it went over by, you know, 6, 7, 8 points. So I think value presents itself to the under in tonight's game. So my play, all right, Jacob, forget the graphics. Forget what I told you earlier. You can never take me at my word. I would go with under in the Memphis-San Antonio game tonight.
Well,
under what?
Well, it's 182. There are some
182s
in town, and there are some 181.5s as well. So, but there are some 182s.
Under 182 is the play.
There you go. And you did this against your better judgment.
No, I own everything that I say. I own everything that I say. But again, no, I have commitment issues, okay?
If you had a choice, if you had your choice, you would have passed today entirely.
Absolutely, only because my play over in the Oakland-Texas game, all right, over 8.5, that's what I bet. But I got up this morning, it was bet up to 9. I can't, in good faith, tell you to bet over 9. I would not bet over 9. I bet over 8.5.
No, you can't do that.
Okay, once in a while I'll do that. It's rare. It's rare.
Yeah, that's not terrible.
Okay.
A real man wouldn't do that.
Ooh, he said a real man wouldn't do that, though.
Ouch. Scott Whitney.
Yeah. Aren't you glad, that we don't give him access to a microphone?
He said, Scott, you can pass. He said, you can pass on the play, and then he tags it as he's closing the door. Yeah. A real man wouldn't do that,
exactly.
But you can do it. Yeah. So thanks for the love and support.
No pass. No.
He's always got my back.
Yeah.
Is that a knife?
Exactly.
I have a question for you.
Oh, he does have a microphone now. Wait, we got a minute.
We haven't got time.
We have about a minute left.
So but I do want to ask you this. We need to think about this for tomorrow. Have you ever analyzed a loss and looked at what happened and said to yourself, oh, I see where I made my mistake? And then as a result of that, change the way you've analyzed subsequent games?
Every day. And the reason is it's a three-hour contract. And I get on and off teams based on what's happened. And it based more on anything else, Scott, on what the line is. Because the sportsbooks may see what I saw, but they may overreact. So, yeah, I'm always analyzing, evaluating, and tweaking. And I'll get on and off teams. It's basically a three-hour contract. Nothing more, nothing less.
So, in other words, you've said you've analyzed it one way. It didn't go your way. And you're like, oh, I see where I missed it. And then you changed your
Well, I either change or I respectfully say, you know, I don't know. I did not read this correctly, so I'm going to lay low and look for a hockey opportunity as an example. You're listening to The Odds Couple on KSHP, AM 1400 radio. We're live and worldwide, compliments of Vegas Video Network. We're here every day, Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 a.m. Check me out, PritchardsPicks.com, VegasInsider.com, RefPicks.com. For Brett Grant, I'm Scott Pritchard. Good luck and goodbye.